same time because I was working in the first of the shoot first shoot I did with him was in 2000, and at that point I was working on a series that was on public television here called Egg. It was a series about the arts. And so they were hiring me to produce short films about a number of different arts and artists. And one of them turned out to be Gregory. And so, but I hadn't really known about him before that. And that was in 2000. So I went to one of his sets and filmed him. And then I actually got kind of coincidentally, I mean, I do lots of, you know, shooting and producing for arts-related kind of things, for television and some for radio. So in 2003, I was hired to produce a half-hour film about him for another television channel. And I did that, and at that point, you know, he'd gotten to know me a little bit. He'd got to see how I represented his work. And I proposed to him that I just keep on filming, and that we just see what came out of that. And he was completely open to that and completely supportive. I think partly because I had built up this, you know, track record. He'd seen the work I had done about him already, you know, these two other shorter pieces. So that's how I came to do the project, and he was immediately, you know, very supportive.
Was it your idea to produce the project?
Pardon me?
Was it your idea, the project?
Yeah, it was. It was. And like I said, based on doing these other, you know, shoots I'd done with him already on these two other shorter projects, which, you know, between them probably amounted to about, you know, a week and a half of filming. It wasn't a lot of, didn't spend a lot of time on two pieces, the television pieces. But like I said, and I wasn't even sure where it would go. You know, I just knew that he interested me. I knew that the process was very interesting and very visual. You know, I always had the way that, you know, here was something that you could see. You'd see him thinking visually, how the pictures got assembled, and how he was making particular choices. You know, I always feel like, you know, his process is kind of a creative process and a visual thinking process, you know, writ large. You know, usually with photographers or people, they're kind of thinking and watching and thinking in their hands. But with Gregory, you know, he's, because he's physically constructing all this stuff in the world, you get to see him make those decisions kind of in real time and see how they, you know, the choices as they're kind of occurring. And so that interested me right away.
Was also his cinematic vision very interesting to you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, partly that, you know, it's because of that same scale. Mm. And also, frankly, because of the uniqueness of it. You know, no one else was doing this, and I knew that this was something kind of unusual and special. By the time, it was early on in this, you know, Beneath the Roses series. And so he really had just started doing this bigger, really the biggest scale work. And the first shoot I did with him, and if you follow him this closely, you know, he did the series before Beneath the Roses, that was Twilight. That was also very elaborate, but not as elaborate as they later became. And so that was the first shoot I'd actually done. Once I'm on the set, I mean, you have to be on those sets to kind of realize how kind of amazing they are. I mean, I remember going to the first Beneath the Roses shoot, and I pulled up, and it was this house, and they had erected scaffolding around the second floor of the house all the way around, because they wanted lights to come into the second floor. And on that scaffolding and the rigging, they had, like, big lights, like, you know, HMIs, you know, aiming in through all the windows. And inside the house, they had removed, you know, part of one floor. They partly deconstructed this house inside. And, you know, you see that for the first time, and you're like, this is kind of amazing.
But as a filmmaker, how does it feel going into that environment? Because if that had been a Hollywood movie, you'd kind of expect that. But for somebody who's creating a still, it's quite a turnaround.
It is. Well, I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It does resemble, you know, like you said, it does resemble film sets a lot. The thing that's not, of course, about film sets is that he's only doing one picture at a time, you know. He's not, I mean, you're on a film set, and in the course of a day, they'll run through a number of different setups.
Yeah.
You know, but for Gregory, I mean, usually there's one day of setup and one full day of shooting. So, it's even more kind of particular and more focused on this one shot than on a film set.
I was just going to say, do you feel that the project, what was your premise for the project when you started out? What were you hoping to achieve?
That's a good question. I was hoping to make a film. I'd hope that a film was going to come out of it.
But what kind of a film? I mean, you know...
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of the work I do is... I've always been interested in process. You know, I've always been interested in filming things and how things get done, really, on kind of like a detailed level. And also how creative people do things. You know, I mean, like I said, I've always done a lot of things about arts and artists and musicians. And I'm interested in how they work and how they accomplish, you know, what they do. And so, I knew right away that I was going to be focusing in the kind of detailed way about the process, you know, in a very specific way. So there was really going to be following him as he created these images in as detailed as a way as I could do. And that was part of the challenge for me, you know, because the way I work is I'm produced and directed this movie, but I also shot almost all of it. And, you know, so I work as kind of a one-man band when I'm shooting, just me, maybe an assistant, but usually just myself. So I'm shooting it all myself. I'm interested in shooting, and I was interested particularly in the challenge of him as a cinematographer.
Sometimes if you did, for me, one of the kind of the most engaged was the Hans Nemeth film of Jackson Pollock when, behind the glass and that whole kind of thing, where it's kind of, there is an interaction between the filmmaker and the artist. Alternatively, it can be a film which is sort of at arm's length, where it becomes a documentary, but...
Yeah. I think this film is a little in between, in a kind of funny way, or it's another thing, you know? I mean, one of the things that the strengths of the film is there is a certain kind of intimacy to my interaction with Gregory, both in terms of proximity and access, and also I do have the feeling like... I forget, you haven't seen the film. Did I send you the Vimeo?
No, I haven't been able to see it.
Okay, well, I can send you the Vimeo link.
But that would be great. Is that a locked Vimeo link?
It is.
Okay.
But I can send you the password. But when he's on the set and he... I mean, in the movie, there's interview with him, but then there's also extended sequences on the set as he's creating each picture. And in those sequences, I had, he granted me this total access, and also because I'm a one-man band and because I was around the set over a period of years, you know, I wasn't like a film crew filming. I was just like, oh, there's Ben with his video camera again, you know? And so I think you're just one of the people who's around, milling around on the set with all these people, you know? And so... in that way, it is kind of, it's a little bit fly on the wall, but I can be very close up and, it's not like a distance observing. It's kind of, the camera is very close. You know, I'm like, foot and a half away from it a lot of times while he's looking through the camera or doing whatever he's doing.
But I can imagine that he's a very, he's somebody who is obsessed with controlling of detail.
He is.
And... Do you think there was perhaps a tension that was he allowing you complete freedom to create this film, or do you feel that he was perhaps, or did he deliberately set up environments or situations that he wanted to happen to engage with your film as well as, do you see what I'm saying? An element of art direction.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, your question was, was he aware of the filming and was he trying to create situations or visuals that would be good for my film?
Well, yeah, but also kind of, there's a great Hockney film called The Bigger Splash, where Hockney is deliberately creating situations to film.
Yeah, no, I mean, Gregory's, he's got enough on his plate, trying to create his own pictures. I mean, they're so elaborate and so detailed, and the challenges... creatively and logistically are those are his primary focus. I mean they're substantial. The the logistical and creative challenges of making this is substantial. I don't think he really has any energy left over to like try to make something, you know, for me, you know. And also just as an artist, I mean, clearly that's his focus. You know, he wasn't really, you know, I'm sure he was certainly aware of me, but there was nothing that he was changing on my behalf.
Was there anything in particular that you felt you learned about his process, which kind of informed the way in which you made the film as you worked through it? Because it was a number of years, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, I was shooting for, I don't know, for years. Well, you know, certainly his visual style of his work had an impact on me. I mean, as a documentary filmmaker, I'm always, when I'm in a situation, I'm always thinking about things that documentary filmmakers always are thinking about. You know, you're thinking about how you're going, are you getting the elements you need that allow you to tell the story later on in the editing room? And so you're thinking like, you know, first of all, how can I get an image that can have the most impact to tell the story that's happening? What is the story that's unfolding in real time? You know, what, you know, where should the camera be to kind of tell that story? Also, in my case, I'm also thinking, is this a good time to engage with Gregory? Because as you'll see in the film, there are a number of times on a set where he'll turn to me and we'll just start talking. You know, that certain kind of, you know, you're talking before about, you know, participatory or distance filmmaking. I mean, that's another way that this film is kind of particular, is that I'm interacting with him on the set while he's working to some extent. So you're thinking about all those things as a, you know, while you're shooting. And those are always your concerns as a documentary filmmaker. But I will say that, you know, I mean, you always want a film to look good and as beautiful as you can, but certainly working around him and on his set, it's kind of, I felt kind of, did kind of raise the beauty bar, the bar for me in a certain way, because I knew that his pictures are, they do have this kind of luscious visual, they're beautiful pictures, you know, mm. They're painterly and they're meticulously composed and lit, and I wanted to my images to try to achieve a little bit of that same quality,
yeah,
as much as I could.
It's quite a balance though, I think, isn't it, between echoing that visual aesthetic and actually appearing like a Gregory Crewdson film.
Yeah, but you know, I always was aware that it was always going to be echoing and never achieving because I don't have the means to achieve what he does, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was someone asked me a question in a Q&A the other day about this, like, you know, because there are a number of images in the film that I deliberately tried to evoke the quality of his images. But I was thinking about it later, and I think what it really is more, it's more like I'm trying, in some of the images in my movie, I'm trying to evoke the quality of the world of his pictures. You know, there are certain settings of his pictures and certain emotional tones and compositional devices he uses. And in my film, I definitely was aware of trying to echo those. In other words, I wanted certain shots in my film to look like they could have been from, they were those same places. You know, it wasn't necessarily the same photographs, but it was the same street or the same kind of houses or the same kind of people lived in those houses as in Gregory's pictures.
It's interesting. I was talking to Mary Ellen Mark the other week about a series she's just done called Prom, and her husband, who's a filmmaker, Martin Bell, has also made a film. While she was shooting stills, he made the film. And it's very interesting to put the two projects together because although the stills are beautiful, the sense of narrative and the emotion actually comes through the film. And I think it's interesting with Gregory's pictures because there is a sense of slowness about his images. But I wonder if by, you know, watching the film, whether or not they actually bring more or actually continue the narrative by watching your film having then seen the images. Oh, he's gone. Come on, Pittsburgh, come back. Me dit déjà oui. Damn. I mean.
Computer crashed, and so I just started the machine up
here. Okay, great. Thanks for getting back to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just basically, I don't know how much you caught of that, but I was saying.
You were telling me about Marianne Marks and her husband and the film he had made. And.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the film seemed to be a fantastic way of taking the still image and progressing the narrative into a different form. And I just wondered whether or not you felt your film did a similar thing with Gregory's pictures.
Tell me more what you mean by that.
Well, the moving image by obviously the addition of, I know it's slightly different, well, it's very different, I suppose, with Gregory's, because they're not featuring movement in the same way. But that the addition of sound, of audio, kind of, it's like looking at a still and hearing a thunderstorm is very different from looking at a still and hearing birdsong. And I just wondered whether or not that progressed that. I mean, it may be a blind alley that I'm going down there.
No, but it's interesting. I mean, I can take a stab at it. I mean, obviously I've thought about the difference between, you know, cinema and photography.
Yeah.
In the course of this, and I mean, this doesn't speak specifically to the notion of sound, but I will say that. I've kind of come to the conclusion that one of the things that's unique about Gregory's pictures is, I mean, obviously they visually contain aspects of both photography and of cinema.
Yeah.
But they also, if you think about it, I mean, photography, and he and I talked about this actually in conversation that appears a little bit in the film, that, you know, photography, when you look at a photograph from 1932, you look at it and you realize it's from the past, and you think, oh, there's an image from the past. Photography is, in some sense, about remembering the past and something that happened at a particular moment in time. Whereas if you look at a film that was made in 1932, you know, because you engage in this willing suspension of disbelief as a viewer, you're not aware that it's a film that's, you know, from 1933. You just get involved in the narrative.
Yeah.
And you forget that it's old. You're not thinking as you're watching a, you know, classic Hollywood cinema, oh, this is, I mean, you might be thinking about it being old, but you forget about that.
Yeah.
You just become involved with the story. And so I feel like you do a little bit of that when you look at Gregory's pictures. I think you do engage in a willing suspension of disbelief in the same way that you do when you look at a movie.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because for me, that's the great link between filmmaking and great photography, is that both require a strong sense of narrative.
Right, right, right. I mean, there's also something interesting that happens in my movie, and I guess I've been aware of that watching it the last few days as I've been watching it for the first time with audiences. Because, you know, we just had the premiere, and so now I'm seeing it. You know, I've seen it in small groups as I've been kind of testing it to people. But now I've been seeing groups with, like, you know, a couple hundred people.
Mm.
And that makes me more, and also on a bigger screen, bigger theaters, that makes me more aware of the experience of watching his stills, as opposed to, because in the film you see the same settings, and then we go to the still images, and just how different that experience is. I mean, obviously, watching his stills big versus my movie play out, but you do when you see his stills, you do enter this world. You know, you do forget. I mean, my movie is so much about him making things, and then we still see his still images in the movie. You do forget the process for a moment.
Do you think that he? I mean, it's one of those strange scenarios, isn't it? That he's creating movies that are never going to be made, or steals from movies that are never going to be made.
He doesn't think about it that way, though.
Okay.
You know, he thinks about them. I mean, he sees himself as a photographer, very much as a photographer. He doesn't think of them as something that's part of a story.
Right.
You know, he doesn't think about before or after. He literally doesn't think what happened to these characters before. Or what's going to happen to them. That doesn't even concern him. He literally is just interested in that one particular moment and has this image of this one particular moment, and that's really all he's interested in. So I don't think he sees it as a scene from a movie that will never get made, because he doesn't know what that movie would even be. And he's not even interested in being a filmmaker particularly. I mean, many people come to him and over the years and ask him and encourage him to make, work on movies.
Mm.
And he's very clear, at least he has been, to say, I'm a photographer and I'm interested in photography and I'm not a filmmaker and I don't want to have to, those concerns of filmmakers aren't what I want to work with.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Because he's almost sort of the smallest step away from being a filmmaker, and yet perhaps in that case, the furthest step away.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of curious about his work, and also maybe that makes him interesting.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there are things like that that to me are part of what make his work so compelling to people. That the work is kind of betwixt and between these different modes and different ways of working that people are so familiar with. And people know photography, they know cinema, and yet he combines elements of both in this way that is kind of both and yet neither. And I think that is intriguing and interesting to people, partly because we're all so used to these ways of looking, and he kind of is, trying a third way.
Mm. Do you think that when he saw your, presumably he saw your film, one of the first people to see it, I would have thought. What was his take on it?
I think his first take was that he was shocked at having to watch somebody tell the story of his life, in close detail for, an hour and a half. I mean, literally, I think that was his reaction. And I totally understand that. If you can imagine what it's like to someone, because the film kind of does tell his life story, in addition to following him closely in his work. And if you can imagine the experience of that, startling to say the least.
Were there a lot of revelations to him, do you think?
Well, I don't know if they're revelations, but I mean, it was funny watching it with him and with his assistant. And they were watching it, and they were like, some of the stuff has happened, they watched it, first time he saw a cut of it was the fall of last year, which was already, there are things in the movie that I shot 10 years before.
Mm.
And so he had forgotten things about shoots that are in the movie, like moments that happened. So they were, the two of them were sitting there kind of like, oh yeah, I remember this. Oh yeah, I remember that guy who was there. And remember what, it was kind of like he was revisiting those experiences.
So we're talking off and on about 10 years of filming.
Yes, I mean, I did the first shoot was in 2000, and then I actually didn't do any for a few years, and then in 2004, 2005, 6, 7, 8, it kind of continued.
And at what point or how did you suddenly reach a point at which you thought the film is now complete, I can start editing this?
Well, I can tell you exactly when. It's when he finished, when he decided he wasn't going to make any more of the Beneath the Roses photographs.
Right.
That's when it was. I mean, it was funny. I didn't know that he decided to not to do any more of those.
Right.
And I went to film actually I did a series of big sit down interviews with him over the years. And one of those we did was the first one after he'd finished Beneath the Roses, and I didn't know he was done with them. And he talked about being done with those pictures in the interview. Mm. And after the interview was over, my cameraman turned to me and we looked at each other and I just said, well, I guess now I have an ending to the movie.
How fantastic.
And so that's what it was he was done with that. And so that was kind of, because I didn't know when it was going to stop. I was kind of thinking I was getting to the point where I was about done, but I wasn't sure yet. But then when that happened, I was like, okay, that's the end.
And how big an editing process was it?
You mean in terms of time? Again, it was a little on and off. I mean, I in addition to working on this movie, I also, work as a cinematographer, as a documentary cinematographer.
Mm.
Always looking for work. And also as a, producer, director. And so I'd work on other projects and would come back to this, in between those. So I've been editing it now. I mean, the last... big shoots I did with him of him taking pictures were 2009. So it's been a couple of years. It was a couple of years of editing.
Mm.
At first, a little bit in between other projects, and then for about a year, pretty solid.
Mm. And now the film must, I mean, it's so eagerly awaited.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, I was a little kind of startled, but also obviously pleased that it's getting a lot of attention, a lot of interest, and, you know, it's only, I mean, it literally only been done for a few weeks. I mean, you know, it had its premiere this, you know, a few days ago at South by Southwest, and I finished it, you know, we finished the mix and the color correct about 2 weeks before that.
Right.
So it's just brand new. But and so the speed of, like, you know, from finishing to, you know, a lot of buzz about it is a little, you know, startling. But I appreciate that, and, you know, I hope it'll have a good life.
And how does that work for you? As presumably you self-funded the project all the way through.
I did. Although that was a little, you know, easier for me. Obviously, I mean, a lot easier. Because I'm a cinematographer and I shot it.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay myself, and I have all my own gear that I own.
Mm.
You know, I own a camera package and I own sound package, and, you know, and I, a few times I had another cinematographer come along and help. But it was substantially self-funded. I've had some European television sales, pre-sales.
Yeah.
That helped fund the post-production, so that they came in at a later date.
And now you can expect huge demand for it, I would have thought, through festivals and kind of worldwide.
Well, we hope so. You know, we're still in the very early stages of that. But you know, I have some interest, a lot of interest, and requests from festivals and, you know, requests from people around the world to you know, get it out. And so I'm hoping that's the case. It's still early in that process.
And having spent 10 years on that, well, where does that leave you on a personal project basis? Is there another project you've been working on alongside that, or is it time to start on a new project from scratch?
Well, both. I mean, you know, as I said, I'm a cinematographer for hire, so I've kind of shot a lot of things in the meantime. I'm actually one of the things I've just been shooting recently is a documentary about another photographer that a colleague of mine is producing, a guy named Sam Shaw.
Oh yeah, I know Sam Shaw.
Yeah. So I was just shooting some interviews with a few people about him.
That's
so
interesting.
That's a job that I'm working on as a cinematographer only. But I also, you know, I produce things for both for public television and are kind of documentary television in the States. And I also produce for, I have another side of my career, which is I work in public radio.
Right.
And I produce documentaries for public radio. So those have kind of an ongoing, but yeah, no, it's, I'm thinking about my next project, and I've started doing a little shooting on a couple of different things that just to kind of get my feet back in the water. But I'm excited about going on to doing something new.
I have to say, I mean, I'm a huge kind of collector, historian, I suppose, on photography. And for me, there are just so few photographic documentaries about photographers.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost criminal. I think there are so many opportunities out there to create documentaries about photographers.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I will say that as I think about this project, it's a little bit daunting, but I mean, I kind of realized that there was something very special that happened with this project, which, in the sense that, you know, a lot of films about photographers about artists in general are about them after they've made a major body of work. You know, you go back and revisit them, and I think what's special about the experience I had with Gregory was that I was there while the major body of work was being created, and that's what you see in the film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course I'm going to go on, and I'm interested in making other films. I do kind of wonder whether that's a lightning strikes kind of situation. Whether that's possible to recreate. But, you know, there are other interesting things to try to do too. So.
Mm. Listen, it's great, and thanks very much for sparing the time to talk to us.
Yes, I'm happy to. It's interesting to talk to you, and
What we're going to do, we'll do is I'm going to run this in the issue 6 of the magazine.
Okay.
Which will come out at the beginning of, I'm trying which month we're in, which will come out at the beginning of April, May, beginning of May.
Okay, great.
Could you be so kind as to send me some, either some high-res stills from the film or behind the stage on set stuff, any visual material you have?
Yeah, I will.
That would be great. And also a short biog on yourself.
Okay, I'll do that too.
That I could include. That would be good.
No, that'd be great.
And that's pretty much how we'll do it.
Okay. Can I ask you a greedy question?
Yeah, go on.
Your magazine sounds so interesting. I wonder if you could, like, you know, subscribe me for a year or something.
Whoa! That's the cheekiest ever. Yeah, of course.
Or at least send me a couple copies so I can see it.
No, of course I can. People usually just ask for one issue. They never usually ask for a subscription.
If it's too cheeky, just send me one.
No, it's for your cheek. Bear with me 1 second. Excuse me 1 second. Okay. Hello? Yeah. Sorry, Linda, I'm just in the middle of having an interview. Can I pop up in a sec? Thanks. Sorry about that. Yeah, listen, you know what? I'm a great admirer of cheek, and I'm asking of you, so it's only reasonable that you ask of me. I'll make sure that...
I mean, I wouldn't ask it, but it sounds like you're doing something really interesting, so I'd love to get acquainted with it.
Of course I would. You just, if you can, when you email me the images, just email me your postal address.
Okay.
And I'll pop some in the post to you, and I'll add you to...
And also, it'd be great if you, I mean, you might as well see, you should see the film, so I'd love to. I'll send you the Vimeo link, too.
That would be absolutely fantastic.
I'm kind of keeping it very low...